Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, it was OTA's day one yesterday, the first day the Steelers had an organized team activity together with the entire group, or the majority of the group. We have reports today out of Pittsburgh about Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Bud Dupree, James Conner, Tyler Matakevich. We've got a lot to get to today, so let's get right to it. We'll start today with some Steelers news and notes. Stephon Tuitt telling reporters today that he played with a torn bicep last season for the entire year. Now, we knew he had a bicep injury in week one. It kept him out of that game and kept him out of week two against Minnesota. He came back, I believe, in week three against the Chicago Bears. But we didn't know that he had played with this all year, right? Not that he had a bad year, but again, Stephon Tuitt, you know, did not have a Stephon Tuitt-type season. Again, I still think there is another level he can get to, as I talked about yesterday. He said today, quote, "It is back, healed again, and strong, and I can't wait to stick people in the mouth with it." So it's good to see Stephon Tuitt is back out there. He's, you know, he's got that mean demeanor about him. And again, as I said, I think there is another level of Stephon Tuitt that we haven't seen yet. And this, you know, he had injury problems in 2016 as well, and this kind of injury problem that we've seen from a lot of these young Steeler players has certainly stunted their growth in some way. And so for Stephon Tuitt, it's good to see him healthy again. He's able to participate in these OTAs early on. Hopefully he stays healthy throughout this process. And again, can continue to fine-tune his craft because, you know, having him and Hayward on that defensive line, it's going to make everything easier for the guys behind them if they're dominating the line of scrimmage. Third-round pick offensive tackle Chucks Okorafor signing his rookie deal today. Again, this is a, you know, this is pretty routine at this point, right? There's not a lot of wiggle room for these guys. The last two rookies who have not signed yet are first-round pick Terrell Edmonds, and then, of course, third-round pick quarterback Mason Rudolph, who maybe you'll have some issues there because he's a quarterback, and quarterback deals are always a little weird. But again, you know, just the way the rookie pay scale is set up, there's not a lot of wiggle room. I would expect in the next couple weeks we'll get Edmonds and Mason Rudolph signed. And just because they're not signed to their contract didn't mean that they're not participating today. Both Terrell Edmonds and Mason Rudolph were there and practicing at OTAs. They were both at rookie minicamp as well. And then finally, the Eagles releasing inside linebacker Michael Kendricks today. This is someone who the idea has been floated around before that the Steelers may want to look into acquiring Michael Kendricks. Now, here's a guy in Michael Kendricks who the Eagles have been floating trades out there, and that, you know, it's been widely known that they're not ready to commit to his $7.5 million salary cap hit in 2017 or 2018. So this is a guy that wasn't going to be on the Eagles, and it was just a matter of would they find a trading partner or would they have to cut him. Now they do cut him, and so the rumor mill is already starting with are the Steelers gonna be interested in Michael Kendricks. He would certainly be an upgrade over a Vince Williams or a John Bostic. He might even be the best inside linebacker the Steelers have on the roster if they brought him in. He would at the very least be the kind of competition, true competition, at that position that we've been asking for. And look, if you believe the reports that the Steelers were looking into trading up to get inside linebacker Rashawn Evans in the draft, and that would have been in the first round, you have to believe that the Steelers still feel like there is room for upgrade at the position. So certainly the Steelers are going to do their due diligence and look into Michael Kendricks and whether or not he's someone worth bringing in. I will caution and say I don't think Michael Kendricks is going to be the difference maker on defense, right? He doesn't figure to be a guy who's going to come in and replace a Ryan Shazier. He will certainly be better than John Bostic or Vince Williams, and I'm not saying they shouldn't bring him in, but I do want to caution the idea that Michael Kendricks is a difference maker between winning or losing a Super Bowl. Let's not forget, this is a guy who on the Philadelphia Eagles only played about 50% of the snaps for them on that defense. And he only got that many snaps because of the injuries of the guys in front of him on that depth chart. In 2016, he only got 25% of the reps. So, you know, again, this is a guy who, yes, he was on a Super Bowl winning defense. He played well last season. There's no doubt about that. But he was scheduled to make $6-plus million in salary this year. He was scheduled to count $7.5 million against the Eagles' salary cap. They made the determination that he was not worth that money. The Steelers certainly can't afford anywhere close to the kind of money he was making in Philadelphia, right? They only have $6 million of salary cap space left in total. And if there's any kind of deals that they want to work out, long-term deals, new guys they want to bring in, you know, of course, they have the Le'Veon contract hanging out there, right? This is going to have to be a, you know, a value pick for them. And Kendricks is certainly going to have to take a pay cut coming to Pittsburgh. No telling yet what he's looking for in a contract. And just looking at the way this roster is constructed right now and where we are in the process, I would not be surprised to see Kevin Colbert pass on the opportunity to get Michael Kendricks at this point. Being that OTAs are starting right now, we're starting to see John Bostic, we're starting to see Tyler Matakevich, and that rotation at inside linebacker. I don't know that Colbert is ready to stir the pot just yet at inside linebacker. It may just be the case that if Kendricks doesn't sign anytime soon, and we start getting beyond OTAs, maybe even beyond minicamp, I could see a world where you do then realize, okay, you know what, John Bostic at OTAs, John Bostic at minicamp wasn't exactly the guy we thought he could be. We maybe do need some upgrades there. Or Matakevich, you could say the same thing about, right? And then you might have Colbert reach out and try to get Kendricks in there before training camp. I could see that being the case. At this point, you know, if we're going to sign him in the next week or two, I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. So we'll monitor that situation and see where it ends up. All right, let's talk about OTAs day one. This is the first time the entire team can come together and practice. And so, I guess not the entire team, right? No Le'Veon Bell today. A couple other guys I think weren't there. But the majority of the team getting together and practicing for the first time. And of course, the first thing that we heard from this OTA day one was about Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph, this whole feud that won't die. And the media has done a great job of playing this up and playing it, to its worth. I am as guilty as anyone of that, right? I've probably beat that horse a few too many times. Glad to see Ben Roethlisberger went out of his way today to basically shut that whole thing down, that there is no issue between him and Mason Rudolph.
I think people took some things that I said into a context that I was going to be mean or rude or whatever, and that was not it at all. If you listen to the whole conversation, that was said in jest and laughing and having fun. So I've never been the type to just be rude or mean to other quarterbacks. So you can ask, Jones, and I've had a lot of quarterbacks through here that have been younger than me that I've tried to help any way that I can. So, I'll continue to do that.
Ben Roethlisberger putting this Mason Rudolph thing behind him and basically shutting all of it down. Obviously, the media is going to continue talking about it, and this will continue to be a storyline. And, of course, I'll probably talk about it again before the start of training camp. But glad to see that there is no animosity between Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph. They're working together. And here's Ben Roethlisberger describing Mason Rudolph at OTA day one.
He's got a big arm. He overthrew AB, even though AB's not going to admit it. But I thought seems to understand the offense, seems to not have any issues in the huddle, so I thought he did really well.
Now, one thing I like to hear from Ben Roethlisberger right there is that Mason Rudolph has a big arm, right? He's talking about the big arm that Mason Rudolph has. That was one of my concerns coming out of college with Mason Rudolph is not his ability to throw the deep ball. And he talks about he overthrew AB, haha, right? You can't overthrow AB. Well, he found a way to overthrow AB. That's cute, but to me, I'm more worried about his ability to drive the football to the sidelines. And you know, it's, again, something I'm going to continue monitoring with Mason Rudolph. But if that was just a footwork issue like I thought it might have been, and they can work that out at least through OTAs now, that would be, that is the ideal situation for Mason Rudolph and certainly bodes well for him down the line. So Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, no animosity there. Very, very glad to hear that. Bud Dupree is going to be playing some right outside linebacker this season, or at least he's starting that way in OTA, saying, quote, "We're going to be playing both sides. We've just got to get used to work on both sides, and now is the perfect time to go on the side you aren't typically on and just fine-tune your skills. When training camp comes around, the season comes around, at some point you'll be asked to move around. In the games, I'll probably still be on the left. It's just a matter of being able to play left or right instead of being stagnant running the same thing." And I'm glad to hear Bud Dupree and TJ Watt may potentially switch sides a little bit in 2017. It's something we really haven't seen from this defense in a while. In fact, Bud Dupree has almost exclusively played left outside linebacker his entire career. So being able to flip these guys and having these guys play on either side is just going to give the offensive line something else to think about. The left tackle will not just be able to key in on the things that Bud Dupree likes to do. And let's be honest, Bud Dupree doesn't have, you know, a strong repertoire of pass rush skills at this point in his career. So, you know, it probably is easier for a left tackle who's watching Bud Dupree come at him with speed rush play after play to get used to that. If he's flipping around, that is going to bode well, I think. And again, not to say that this is going to be an every play or every series or every game type thing, but giving this defense more flexibility is something I think is really going to help them in the long run. James Conner was at practice today, healthy, involved. Here's Ben Roethlisberger talking about James Conner's day.
You know, this is a big time for James with some of the injuries that he had last year and learning last year. I think this will be really good for him to get as many reps as possible so we can all see what he can do and that he can see what he can do too.
So with Le'Veon Bell being absent from these OTAs, he will likely be absent from minicamp and potentially training camp as well. James Conner is going to get a bunch more first-team reps, and this is now year two for him. So as Ben said, this is a huge offseason for the development of James Conner, not just because, you know, he had so many things he could work on from year one to year two, not just because it's a rehab, you know, he had to rehab from that knee injury from year one, but also because he's going to have a chance now for the majority of this offseason, or potentially the entire offseason, to be the number one feature back in this offense. That's going to be huge for him in his development. And again, I think backup running back's not something we talk about a lot in Pittsburgh because, to be honest, the Steelers have not done a great job of spelling Le'Veon Bell throughout the year. They don't like to go to take Le'Veon Bell off the field. It's something they're probably going to need to do more and more, and especially if we're going to go through another offseason of Le'Veon Bell not being involved in any of the training camp stuff. We can't afford to have Le'Veon Bell have a slow start when you're going up against Kansas City early in the year. You've got Atlanta, I think it's week 5 or 6. We just can't afford to have a slow start again for this offense. And I think James Conner can be a solution to that, at least early on in the year. One of the big shockers today that came out as a report was Tyler Matakevich given first-team reps over John Bostic at inside linebacker. Now, again, it's very, very early days, so I would not read too much into this, but Tyler Matakevich playing on the first team probably because he knows the defense a little better. John Bostic being a free agent signing, you know, he's not going to get first-team reps, although you didn't hear the same thing about, like, Jordan Dangerfield starting over Morgan Burnett or anything like that. So it's interesting. You know, the Steelers have certainly talked up the idea of Tyler Matakevich. And Kevin Colbert talked a lot during the process about Tyler Matakevich's injury that he got, that he sustained against the Cincinnati Bengals, that kept him from starting after Ryan Shazier went down, and really was adamant that everything that happened after Ryan Shazier's injury, as far as the, you know, having to get Sean Spence off the waiver wire and bring in a guy from outside the organization and the struggles that we had defensively, he was very adamant that it may not have been that way had they been able to start Tyler Matakevich in place of Ryan Shazier. So they're clearly very high on Matakevich, or at least a lot higher than I think they should be given what I've seen from Tyler Matakevich as an inside linebacker. But we shall see. Now, again, it's just day one of OTAs. I would not say that at this point Matakevich is the presumed starter over John Bostic, but anything can happen, right? And again, it's one of those situations where I would assume that John Bostic will overtake Matakevich at some point and become the starting strong inside linebacker for this football team. All right, that is day one of Steelers OTAs. And again, some good stuff today, right? We're seeing Bud Dupree and TJ Watt potentially flip sides, or at least Bud Dupree's going to the right side. Not sure if TJ Watt's going to the left side, although you would assume if Bud's going to the right, TJ's going to the left, you wouldn't figure there's going to be too much of a rotation there at edge rusher, but you never know. But there's a lot more to get to. We'll talk about more of this tomorrow. OTA's day two. We have a lot more to get to, including Sean Davis, the entire safety position, Morgan Burnett, Terrell Edmonds, what's going on, free safety, strong safety. We're going to talk about all of that tomorrow. Because there is a lot to go over there as far as where is Sean Davis going to fit? Where is Morgan Burnett going to fit? We're starting to see some of that at OTAs, and we'll talk about it tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.